when I got married, because I was raised a Catholic and Diane is Anglican. So we decided, well, we'll get married in the Anglican church, but after that, you come with me to my church. And we were like, yeah, no, that's fine. So I went over and met this Anglican priest who I didn't know, and I didn't know he was saved, though. And he was a really nice guy, you know, he counseled us and spoke to me. He said, listen, you've got to go and tell your priest. And I said, yeah, sure. But I thought, oh, well, it's just a matter of courtesy, so I'm like, oh, yeah, put it off. I think it was about a week before we got married. I went up to see him, and I said, oh, well, I'm just come to tell you that next week I'm getting married, but I'm getting married at St. Gabriel's, Anglican Church up the road. And, wow, you'd swear I dropped a hand grenade in his lap. Man, he exploded. Oh, he went off. And he was angry because, as a Catholic, you must have a Catholic priest on the altar with you, which I didn't know at the time anyway. And he stormed out of there and he left me sitting there, and I was like, he said, oh, we've lost another member. And I was like, wow, sat there stunned. And after a while I realized, man, he's not coming back, I better go home. So I went. And then after we got married, we got a unit which was close to the Anglican church. And in 1979, my oldest brother, he got saved. And that got me thinking, because he's a musician. And so as long as I can remember, he was on marijuana and everything else musicians did. And then he got saved, and I saw this dramatic change in his life. And he used to come and witness to me, but just went straight over the head. And then I started to work away from home. We said, oh, well, I'm going to go out and make some money so we could buy our own place. And whilst I was away, Diane started to go to her church, the Anglican church, where they had the saved priest. And then she got saved. But she didn't tell me that. I would come on weekends, when you come on, not weekends, once a fortnight, once a month, whatever. And then she would try and share with me, and I'd be like, hey, woman, don't preach to me. And then just to be defiant, you pour another rum and coke, and like, nah, don't preach to me. And as I said, I didn't know that. I had a friend, Eddie was his name. We were family friends, but Eddie and I, we went to our whole schooling together from grade 1 all the way up. And then in grade 10, he had to leave school because of financial reasons. And then we sort of lost contact. We went our own ways. But then Eddie went into the priesthood. And he was training to become an Anglican priest in the same church. And when I'd come home, he would come, visit me, share with me. But still, it's just nothing. What I didn't know was that this church, on a Friday morning, they used to have a church service. And then they had a prayer list of all the people they were targeting and praying for, that God would touch them. And my name was on that list. So every Friday morning, they'd call this list out in the church. We're praying for Malcolm, we're praying for this one. And you know, looking back, I was in a camp like 500 kilometers away. I remember this one evening, I was sitting in my room, and I had a little pocket Bible, but it was King James. And I took it out, and I tried to read this Bible, but I was just like, no. And my roommate walked in whilst I had the Bible, and he looked at me. Then he went down to the mess area, because just before dinner, and told all the guys, this guy must be homesick, he's reading the Bible. And by the time I came for dinner, oh well, everyone was having a go at me, because this was the weirdest thing that they could ever see, someone trying to read the Bible. Anyhow, I came home, stopped that job, I came home, I started working locally. Then Eddie would come again, come and visit me, share with me. Then one night he came, he said to me, listen, it was in the Lent period of Lent. He said, are we going to have a Bible study at church? Don't you want to come and just learn about the Bible? And I said, oh yeah, right, yeah, I'll come along. And I went the first night, and we were like in groups of six. They broke us all up, and they had a study. I think it was Corinthians. And they shared, and everybody asked questions. And the first night I thought, oh yeah, that's not too bad. So I went back, and I stayed for all the studies. But then the last study was geared towards salvation, and at the end of the night they said, like, okay, would anybody want to give their heart to the Lord? So I said, yeah, okay. So I knelt down and they led me through the sinner's prayers, they laid hands on me. But nothing changed, nothing. I felt nothing. And I went home. The next morning I was got up, went to work. When I was at work, I was thinking, oh, what happened last night? Man, I was confused. And I remember I was working on the sugar mill and I walked away and sat down near this tank. And I was, through my mind, I was like, man, what did I do last night? And I think the reason for that was the village where we lived, it was going through like a time of revival. And man, every morning you got on a bus, somebody would walk up to the front and they would blast you. You need to get saved. If Jesus wanted you to smoke, he'd put a chimney on your head and it would just go on. And, oh man, it, in the end you were like, man, I had enough of these people. Morning, afternoon, as soon as you see someone making their way to the front of the bus, you think, oh, there it comes. And no sooner would that one finish, the next one would come up. And then the sad thing is, 3-4 weeks later, those same people, you see them in the village, you're like, they're doing the very things they told you not to do. So I sat there and I'm thinking, man, I don't want to join the circus. I'm thinking, no, this is not for me. And I made up my mind then. I said, nah, I'm not going back there. But what happened was, everybody that got saved, they took all the list of people, and then they assigned you to different discipleship groups. And I was given to a guy by the name of Martin and his wife Frida. And I hadn't met him yet, but man, he was like a dog with a bone. This guy would ring and ring, and I was getting annoyed. I'm like, man, this guy's a nuisance. And he would, you know, come after me like, oh, we're going to have a discipleship class at my home this day, that. And he would ring and ring, and it's like, oh. And of course, Diane was urging me on because I didn't know she was saved. And anyway, I decided, only way to get this guy off my back is to at least go one night and check it out. So I went to his home, and first night got there. And his wife, Frida, is actually a Muslim convert. So now they were going to disciple us, his husband and wife. And I thought, wow, this is strange. Ex-Muslim woman. But our first night we did, the study was all on salvation, all the scriptures, you know, John 3:16, Romans 3:23, and asked questions. And after the first night I felt, no, I'm going to hang in here. And I went through the discipleship course, and I'd say that's what really grounded me, the discipleship. And I say it grounded me because in that class we had a young lady, very eloquent, you know, one of those when they talk to you, you need a dictionary next to you. Because she was a trainer in the bank. She used to train all the bank staff. And she came to discipleship class one evening and she said, oh, you know, she was boarding with the family. And she said, oh, this family, man, she said, it's really affecting my walk. The husband drinks and fights and swears. And she said, it's really affecting me. I really need to get out of here so I can grow spiritually. And they're like, oh, yeah. She said, oh, but I got offered a granny flat just not far away. But it's got broken windows and need some repairs. So now she said, oh, can you lend me some money so I can fix it, so I can move in there? And we're like, oh, of course. Why wouldn't you? So we lent her $500. And Frida and Martin, they belong to this grocery club where everybody would chip in every month, like keep the money for Christmas. She took all that money and lent it to her. And we're talking 1984, this is a lot of money. And that's the last time we saw her. She got the money, she was gone. So that's why I say, you know, discipleship really grounded me. And that's my walk with God. Thank you. Amen.